You're listening to Black and Abdallah on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. Listen to us now live on the ESPN Chicago app.
It's Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Abdallah, is your bracket busted on day one? Do you have a busted bracket?
The bracket per se is not yet busted, but the bets we're even. Not great, not bad. We're even.
I love people that are like, "Is your bracket busted?" No, it's perfect. How many games have played today? Oh, two.
Oh, but I'm perfect.
I'm perfect through two.
I'm perfect through the afternoon.
it's all right.
Black and Abdallah here on After Bears Weekly. We'll continue the Bears conversation with you right here on ESPN 1000. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Yesterday at USC, there was the pro day for the NFL. Caleb Williams was there. He was outstanding. Well, I mean, relatively speaking, right? He was throwing to receivers with no defense, no rush. Coming after him in the pocket, but he stood there, he looked the part, he made the throws, and more importantly, what we've seen now throughout this process is the personality shines through. He wants to work hard, he wants to play for a team with a fan base that cares, and he wants to be great. And I think the takeaway that I've kind of gathered, I followed Caleb Williams for the last 2 years with him being a USC quarterback. I've been a USC fan for the majority of my life. I didn't realize how badly he says he wants to win until this draft process started up, when he's been more available to talk to people and to the media. Because if you go back to USC's season last year, whenever USC lost, Lincoln Riley didn't have his leader of the team speak to the media. So I think being able to have some access to Caleb Williams has kind of, I've grown an appreciation to the character and to the person that this kid wants to be great. And as a Bears fan, I'm ecstatic that that's the type of guy that the Bears are going to be taking with the number one pick.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, guys like him that have been highly touted since high school, that come in as, you know, the number one recruit or second ranked recruit going into college, right, to Oklahoma, and then he transfers to USC. Like, guys that are talked about as the next, and he's aware of what people are saying about him. It's not like he doesn't have a phone or doesn't have Twitter or Instagram or whatever. He knows what is being said and the comparisons that are being made. That's why he said to, you know, to Lewis Riddick and to everybody else that he talked to yesterday that he wanted to show that he can make the on-time throws, that it's not just him and the comparisons to Patrick Mahomes where, oh, I'm just making something out of nothing every single time. Like, I'm just freelancing. Yeah. He's aware.
Playing backyard football.
Exactly.
Abdallah. Backyard football.
And within that comes the talk of legacy, right? He won a Heisman Trophy. He's in the Heisman Trophy commercials. Like, he is aware of what his legacy could be and if he's being talked about it with the likes of Mahomes and Andrew Luck and Joe Burrow as one of those great prospects, that if he comes out and is a bust, that's what's going to be remembered. That's what's going to be said about him. Oh, Caleb Williams, the bust. You know, Mitchell Trubisky, the bust. Justin Fields, the undetermined, just quite yet, but at least in a Bears uniform, a bust, right?
If you're not with your current team,
you're a bust.
After your third season, you're deemed a bust in this conversation.
No, listen, he can go on and have a great career, but this isn't a conversation about Justin
this
Fields.
This conversation drafted quarterbacks in the first round. Yeah. If you're not with your team in those first three, after those first three seasons,
bust. You're
deemed a bust.
Yeah. And so he's aware of that. And so I think for him, the want to win and not just, well, I'm just going to come in and cash a check and I'm going to be the number one pick, so I'm going to, you know, make my money and be fine. No, all of these guys are aware of what of the comments. Like, you can say, oh, well, I don't want a quarterback that's involved in social media, and I don't want a quarterback that's looking at their likes and their comments. That's just how it is now, man. These guys that have, they're not like you and me. You and me are old, Chris. We're 39. We didn't grow up with Twitter. We barely grew up with Facebook until we got to college. Like, we didn't have social media. These guys have been, you know, tagged and videoed and everything their entire careers, from their first games in high school to college to now. They are very aware of the social media world, and that's definitely part of it. Like, he wants to come in and win Rookie of the Year and take the Bears to a Super Bowl if they draft him. Like, all that kind of stuff. Like, he's very – all of these new athletes. Like, look at Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's got burners, for God's sake. Like, that's how the athletes are. They're very aware of their legacy and what they're going to be and what they expect to be and what they – what their goals are aren't necessarily just, yeah, I'm going to come in and cash a check. No, he's aware of what his legacy is going to be.
You're right about that. I would also lay this out there. You go into this mindset of it's a different caliber of prospect that's coming into the NFL now than what we saw 10, 15 years ago. Because consider with the NIL, it was reported that Caleb Williams has made $10 million at least in NIL money in the last two seasons at USC. So Caleb Williams not only won a Heisman, he's playing quarterback for a school in Los Angeles where if the team is good, that team is the most important football team and football brand in that city, the second largest city in the country, USC football in Los Angeles. Now, I know the Rams have won a Super Bowl. They've been very good as of the last few years. The Chargers are trying to get to that point. But neither team has the relevance of USC football in Los Angeles. You take that into consideration with the money he's made to this point. And this is a guy who already has wealth, a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
already in the bank,
mm-hmm.
at his age, and he's had it now for a couple of years. He also is already crazy famous, not only because he's the best player in college football for two seasons in a row, but also because of the market that he was in, which allowed him to be on TV, to go on interviews for the different TV companies that are out there and whatever the case that is, right? Like, so he is someone to, if we're looking at his overall picture on who he is as an athlete, what is he missing? He's missing a championship,
mm-hmm.
and he's missing winning at the highest level, which is in the NFL, a team-oriented concept. He won the singular award in college football. He did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened? The next year, the team wasn't as good.
Yeah.
His numbers decreased a little bit. He didn't look as special as he did 2 years ago because the team wasn't any good. And he got a lot of the heat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's been some growth in the personality and understanding that when he gets to the next level, he already has the money. He's already famous. He is more famous than many players who are currently in the NFL. Like he's a big-time star.
Yeah.
And then Adam, the one thing he knows he needs to accomplish to be in that top category of the greats in the sport, he has to win.
Yeah.
He's seen Brady. He's seen what Mahomes has done. He's seen those who came before him. None of those names get talked about like how Dan Marino used to be talked about as the best quarterback in football, but he didn't win mm-hmm. the big game. Caleb knows to be in the conversation with the best of the best in the NFL, the team winning has to come first. And I think that's what's been interesting, seeing him talk. And at every step, if you see him on the NFL Network, you see him on ESPN television, you see him on Fox Sports 1, he's saying the same thing to everyone. And the message doesn't change. He wants to win.
Yeah.
That, to me, that's what's, like, really, I feel, as it's different in this. Is, like, sometimes as a Bears fan, we get players who are expected to do something at the next level, but they have no fame, they have no money, so it consumes them. And the actual aspect of winning, being first, isn't necessarily on the forefront.
Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, I mean, but like specifically in this city, you know, like Derrick Rose wanted to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw with the winning, Rose became a mega superstar.
Yeah.
He owned this city.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's from here, so it's easier to like associate that and people have a deep pride for what Derrick Rose was able to do in this city for the Chicago Bulls. But, like, if Caleb Williams shows up and the Bears start winning football games and he's playing well, developing but playing well, not great, like, he is going to own this town.
Oh, absolutely. Look, there's a difference between the Cubs winning the World Series and the way Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant and Javi Baez and, like, those guys will do the, what's the phrase? They'll never pay for a meal in this town again.
Yeah.
Because of what they did. If you win with the Bears, that is catastrophically greater. Like, that is a completely different level. There's a split between Cubs and White Sox fans. There are Bulls fans. Everyone is a Bears fan. Everyone. And we're not talking about not just paying for another meal in the city. Like, you are a god in this city. Look at the way we still, and I'm sure he's well aware. He claims he watched all the videos of Walter Payton, right? Like, and Michael Jordan. He's aware of how this city views that 85 Bears team. And if you do it again in this city, what that means, if it's, you know, the 2026 Bears or the 2027 Bears, whatever, should they get there, if they get there, right? Like, those guys that went to the Super Bowl in Miami against the Colts, if they would have won, they would have been just, like, we still talk about Urlacher, and obviously Lance Briggs here on this radio station, he's a teammate of ours, as Bear legends, right? And they didn't win. They got there, but they didn't win. Like, if he knows, he's not stupid. He doesn't want to be calling games on the SEC network, is what I'm trying to get at, right? Like, there's more to this than just being paid as an athlete to Caleb Williams.
This is not meant as a shot. It's meant to be funny.
Okay.
So if he hears this, this is not meant as a shot.
Lance is going to take you out, dude.
No. Lance is a beast. I was going to say, like, this town is so thirsty for celebrating Bears heroes of past that Anthony Adams is still working for the team,
yeah,
and is a front-facing figure.
He's
in
awesome,
celebrating.
He's funny.
Those Bears teams,
yeah,
that almost got there with Lance and Urlacher,
oh, yeah,
and Tillman,
yeah,
and Mike Brown and Alex Brown.
Look at Hester. Hester just got into the Hall of Fame.
But do you see my point? Is like Anthony Adams.
Yeah.
Like, we're all about it.
Yes.
Spice. Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it's not meant as a shot. It's just like, and you
That's
pointed,
how high we hold up Bears players.
You pointed out Peyton and Jordan. And I think what that signifies to Caleb Williams is that if you win in Chicago as the guy,
mm-hmm,
you are a global icon.
Because
Walter Peyton became a global icon. Michael Jordan is still to this day a global icon.
Mm-hmm.
Is he expected to do what those two did? No, he's not. I am expecting him, though, to give me better quarterback play than what we saw Justin Fields bring to the table in the last couple of seasons.
I'm expecting...
That's the expectation I'm setting. I'm not setting these lofty goals of Super Bowls, Hall of Fames, and the best quarterback in football. I just think out the gate, Caleb Williams is going to be a better quarterback than what we've seen from Justin Fields.
Well, okay. Think of who's the best quarterback of our lifetime?
Jay Cutler.
Exactly. I think he can be at that level, at least.
Yeah, I think so. I think the mechanics are there. I think the way he thinks about the game, I think it's there. And I don't think it'll take long, many seasons into his career, for us to be like, all right, Caleb Williams is probably better than Cutler.
But it's also not just about him, right? Like, this isn't just a Caleb is going to be better than Jay Cutler, have better numbers than Jay Cutler. This is a, he's got DJ Moore. He's got Keenan Allen. He's got... Maybe they end up drafting Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers at 9. He's got Cole Kmet. He's got a Darnell Wright, and he's got a Tevin Jenkins, and he's got a revamped offensive line. He's got a center we presume is going to be the starter that has started, you know, the last 30 games in the NFL and started the last 2 years for the Rams, who are a very good football team. You know, like, the infrastructure is different, and I get it. It wasn't the same for Fields, and that's fine, but you learn from what you've done, right? Like, two things can be true. Fields can not have the best infrastructure around him, but also when he was presented with a better wide receiver and a better offensive line and decent play calling, last I checked, Luke Getsy is still employed in this league as an offensive coordinator. It just still didn't work out for him. And now you bring a better talented quarterback into this system. You've got more weapons around him. You've got a better offensive line. You've got a quarterback-friendly system. Like, it just... everything around him is also going to be better. He doesn't need to be the best quarterback in the NFL in his first year. He can be a top 15 quarterback in the NFL his first year, and I still think the Bears can be successful.
I wanted to play this for you. If you listen to ESPN 1000 all day long, we start the day off with Unsportsmanlike from 5 to 7 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Evan Cohen, Michelle Smallman, and Chris Canty, they make up the crew that bring you in Sportsmanlike each and every day here on ESPN 1000. This is what Chris Canty had to say earlier today on ESPN 1000 about Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus.
The thing that concerns me the most about what Caleb is walking into is that you have a coach and essentially a general manager that are both on the hot seat. Like, if this thing doesn't go right this year, I could see a world where the general manager, Ryan Poles, and the head coach in Matt Eberflus are gone going into 2025. And that's what concerns me. When you have a rookie quarterback with a head coach and or general manager on a hot seat, it's not a good thing. It doesn't lend itself to the kind of stability that you need to develop a quarterback properly.
So that's Chris Canty this morning on Unsportsmanlike with Evan Cohen, Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, and Sportsmanlike each and every day here on ESPN 1000. For that to happen, I would imagine the Bears would have to win less than 6 games this upcoming season. The Bears would have to only win 5 football games for Matt Eberflus and or Ryan Poles to be fired. I think part of that, what Canty is saying, being on the hot seat, does not apply to Ryan Poles. Ryan Poles is okay. He will not be on the hot seat. Even if this is a 5 or 4 win team, he will not be
on the hot
seat. He'll
get to hire another head coach.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I think that broad brush there is incorrect. With Eberflus, if this team wins 5 games and the defense is stellar, the cry will be the Bears need an offensive-minded head coach.
Yes.
Unfortunately, for that to happen, that would have to mean that the defense that we saw be top 10 at the end of last season in November and December would have to take an extreme step backwards. Because even without Montez Sweat, this Bears defense was average.
Mm-hmm.
So for a big injury to take place or something to really go backwards, that would mean multiple season-ending injuries, and the players that are filling into those spots are not improving, which we saw last year, which is the complete opposite of suggesting that this defense is going to take a step back. I just think that's way out on a limb to suggest that Eberflus or Poles will be on the hot seat next season.
I think that Eberflus could be on the hot seat, like you said, if they only win 5 games. I'm looking at their opponents right now. Obviously, outside of the division, they play the Rams, the Seahawks, the Jags, the Titans, the Panthers, and the Patriots at home. One of those games is probably going to be the London game. I would assume the Jaguars game. So it's an away game, home game, whatever. And then on the road, they play the Cardinals, the 49ers, the Texans, the Colts, and the Commanders. So it's not an easy schedule. People are like, oh, fourth place schedule. It's not an easy schedule.
It's an easy schedule.
Dude, you have to play the Rams.
It's easier.
The Seahawks.
That's fine.
You have to go against, I look at the quarterbacks.
That's
like, you
easier.
Still have to go against Trevor Lawrence and the Jags.
All right.
Okay, the Patriots had a good defense last year.
Let me guess. San Francisco at home?
Away.
Oh, away? Who's their quarterback?
Brock Purdy.
I'll take Caleb Williams.
They went to a Super Bowl. What is wrong with you?
I'm just joking.
I was like,
but you know, when we get to that point in the season, that's going to be the conversation.
I told you, Brock Purdy made it to a Super Bowl. I'm done crapping on Brock Purdy. I'm done crapping on Brock Purdy. I'm not doing it anymore. They went to a Super Bowl with him. I'm not doing it. So I could see 5 wins, hot seat Flus. But I keep going back, Chris, to something that we talked about months ago when the season ended, a couple, like 6 weeks, whenever the season ended for the Bears. In January, that when we were talking about what are they going to do? Are they going to keep Fields? Are they going to build around him? Are they going to trade? Whatever. Brad Biggs, who's been all over what has transpired with Caleb Williams and the Bears the last couple days, said in a mailbag or something, in a 10 things, whatever he wrote. He wrote that he believes that it's not playoffs or bust for the Bears if they draft a quarterback with the first pick. Now, this was before they traded Justin Fields, obviously. Now they traded Justin Fields, so we know they are going that route. So I don't believe it's playoffs or bust for the Bears. I think that you're still in a very good division with the Lions and with the Packers. The Vikings are probably going to have a rookie quarterback. Otherwise, it's going to be Sam Darnold, so the Vikings might be crap. But you still have the Packers and the Lions. So if you win nine games, but you missed the playoffs because the Packers won 10 and the Lions won 11, I don't think people are getting fired. I don't think it's playoffs or bust. If Fields would still be here and they chose to trade the first overall pick and they chose to build around Fields with a bunch of draft capital and all that kind of stuff, and they spent a bunch of money on prime positions, which we know they didn't really do except for trading for Keenan Allen, but we don't know if they're going to end up paying him as like an extension type of thing, that would have been playoffs or bust, because that means you're tripling down, doubling down with your guy. Now, this, I think, afforded them a little bit of leeway that if they get to nine wins but don't make the playoffs, they could say, hey, we still have, you know, a bunch of draft picks next year. We've got 2 second-round picks, one from the Panthers next year. We still have a bunch of cap space that we haven't spent. Like, we're good. Nine wins is nothing to sneeze at. That's a good, that's nine wins. It's still an improvement from seven, but no one's getting fired over winning nine games.
They would really have to take a step backwards yes. for that to happen.
Yes.
And I just don't see it happening, and I don't think that we're being pie-in-the-sky local supporters of the team.
Local boobs?
Well, I just don't think we're a local boob. We're boobs. I don't think the two of us. I just think that it's... You look at this team and the way they played in the final 2 months of last season, I just see progression. I don't see them regressing to this point where we're going to have the conversation. You know, I mean, I don't think a month into the season we're going to be saying that this season's lost.
No.
You know, like, that's the thing is, like, to me, Flus has kind of proven that in season he's found a way to develop and to get this group mm-hmm. planned for him.
It's a steady ship. That's what Ryan Pohl said he liked about him. It was a steady ship throughout the entire season.
Talking football with you, 312-332-3776. It's Black and Abdallah.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah. ESPN Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Thank you to Charlie Bevins for producing tonight's show, Black and Abdallah. We'll return tomorrow night, 6:30, Friday Night Calls. All calls welcome with Black and Abdallah. We'll talk to you tomorrow night at 6:30. Abdallah, earlier today, we got a chance to go on out to Guaranteed Rate Field and to preview the new food and beverage offerings for White Sox games this summer.
Absolutely. It was awesome. We had a bunch of stuff that they're going to be offering you at White Sox games at Guaranteed Rate. They've got a new crispy chicken sandwich. We had some empanadas. The smash burger that we had was insane. And my favorite, which was the campfire milkshake. It's a s'more in a milkshake. It was insane. It was awesome.
I think the crispy chicken sandwich was delicious. The smokehouse smash burger was really good. They have this walking stick sandwich, which is a long sandwich, a ham and Swiss with a mustard butter on it. Oh, it was delicious. The food at Guaranteed Rate Field is the best.
Absolutely the best.
There's nothing better than the food offerings and the beverages. I mean, they even have a whole selection of different beers that mm-hmm. they're offering this season at the ballpark. It's going to be great.
And a Jack Daniels and Coke float, which I can't wait Ooh. For. That's a hot summer day item at the Rate. Absolutely.
We also saw some of our friends who cover the White Sox, Josh Nelson, James Fegan, Herb Lawrence, mm-hmm. Vinny Duber. Saw all the guys who were covering the team. Dion Miller helped us record some videos.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Dion. We had a great time out there at the ballpark, and it's going to be an even better time sitting there eating the food at the ballpark this summer. I can't speak to the baseball in the field.
Well, we got to see some of the giveaways, too, like the bobbleheads that they're going to have this year. There's a great Luis Robert one, a great Frank Thomas one, and there's a bomber jacket. There's a track jacket. Let me tell you, I might be one of the first however many thousand in line for that jacket. I need that jacket.
Just saying, I don't know about the team on the field, but the food is fantastic.
The Jack and Coke float, Chris. Yes. The Jack and Coke float.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Chicago's home for sports. Black and Abdallah. ESPN Chicago.